Backstage-Pässe für alle Freunde?
Auf deinem eigenen Festival.
Jetzt im Euro-Jackpot. Rund 74 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Euro-Jackpot. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bijuk.de.
Backstage-Pässe für alle Freunde?
Auf deinem eigenen Festival.
Jetzt im Euro-Jackpot. Rund 74 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Euro-Jackpot. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bijuk.de.
I grew up in a small, single-story house on the outskirts of town. Our house wasn't much. Just a squat little box of peeling white paint with a porch that sagged slightly in the middle. I always thought it looked like it was tired of holding itself up. I didn't care, though. To me, it was home. But what I remember most about that house wasn't the porch or the yard or the tiny bedroom I shared with my younger brother. It was the crawl space. It stretched under the entire house, a hollow black cavity barely 2 feet high, covered by warped wooden slats nailed haphazardly across the entrance. My dad always told me to stay away from it. Said it was full of spiders and mold, sharp bits of rusted metal waiting to slice my hands open if I reached in. My mom warned me too, though she was less dramatic about it, more exasperated than afraid. But I was a curious kid. I'd kneel by the slats, peering through the gaps, trying to see what was inside. Most of the time, it was just dirt or darkness. Sometimes, if the angle was just right, I'd catch a glimpse of the wooden beams holding up the house, or maybe a flash of something skittering out of sight. I never got too close, never reached inside. Until one summer afternoon, when I heard someone whisper my name. I was playing in the backyard alone, kicking a plastic soccer ball around, when I heard it, faint at first, a dry voice slipping out from beneath the house like a draft. When the voice slipped out from beneath the porch, it was so soft, I almost didn't hear it over the sound of the ball bouncing. I stopped, turned toward the crawl space. Nothing but darkness. Then again, slightly louder. Come here for a second. Any adult would have run inside, alerted the police, or done anything. But I was 7, maybe 8, and I had that stupid, childlike fearlessness that makes kids think nothing bad can happen to them. So instead of being scared, I was just curious. I dropped my soccer ball and walked toward the crawl space, dropping to my knees to press my face to the gaps in the wooden slats. A face stared back at me. I just stared back. The man didn't blink. His eyes were wide, locked onto mine, sunken deep into his skull, like he hadn't slept in a long time. His skin was sallow and streaked with dirt, and his hair, what little of it I could see, was long and stringy, clinging to his face in limp, greasy strands. When he spoke again, his voice was almost kind. "Didn't mean to scare you, buddy." I still didn't answer. "I'm an old friend of your dad's," he said, his lips curling. "Really?" I finally managed. He shifted slightly, just enough that I could see more of him. Bony shoulders, his skin a mess of wounds. He looked filthy, like he'd been rolling in dirt, but his voice was calm, friendly, the way adults talk to kids when they want them to feel safe. "Yeah, used to be real close to the family. But it's been a while since we talked. He probably wouldn't remember me. He nodded. That made sense. Adults forgot things all the time. Hey, do me a favor, he added, lowering his voice. Don't tell him I'm here yet. Let's keep it a secret for now, just between us. Your dad might not understand. At that age, I thought secrets were fun. I don't know why I trusted him. Maybe it was the way he spoke, the softness in his voice. Maybe it was because I wanted it to be true. Because the idea of finally having a secret of my own to keep from my parents made it seem grand, special. I didn't tell my parents, and I kept visiting the crawl space. We just talked. I'd go outside and kneel by the crawl space, whispering through the gaps in the wooden slats, while the man lay on the dirt on the other side. He never came out, never reached for me, just stayed in the shadows, speaking in that same soft, friendly tone that made me feel like I was talking to someone I've known all my life. I felt safe. "What's your favorite thing to do?" he asked me once. "You play outside a lot. What do you want to be when you grow up?" His questions were harmless at first, and he listened so intently, like every little thing I said was the most important thing he'd ever heard. I liked that. But over time, the questions started to change. "Your dad still works late, huh? Where do you sleep in the house? Your mom locked the doors at night?" The first time he asked that, I hesitated. "Yeah," I said, "she locks them."
"Every night?"
I thought about it. "Sometimes she forgets," I admitted. He was quiet for a long time.
"Really?" he finally asked. "She sometimes forgets."
There was something in his voice, something I didn't understand yet, because I was just a kid. Looking back, I can see now that they were never just questions. They were tests, each one peeling back another layer, gauging how much I knew, how much I was willing to tell him, how much influence he had over me, without me even realizing it. And I'd let him do it. I had fed him information piece by piece, unaware that I was giving him everything he needed.
"Hey, buddy. I missed you yesterday."
"Sorry," I had whispered back. "I went to my grandma's."
"Ah, that's nice. Bet she makes good cookies."
"Yeah."
"Your little brother go too?"
The question was casual, effortless, like he was just making small talk. I'd answered without thinking. I didn't think back then of the fact that I'd never mentioned my little brother to him. "Uh-huh, he always comes with us."
"Of course. Can't leave the little guy behind, huh?"
I laughed. And then I heard the screen door creak open. "Hey, what are you doing?" I flinched, jerking back from the crawl space so fast that I scraped my knee against the dirt. My little brother was standing on the porch, watching me with wide, suspicious eyes, his small hands gripping the wooden railing like he had caught me doing something I wasn't supposed to. I panicked. "Nothing," I said quickly, scrambling to my feet. "I was just looking for something." His face twisted into something skeptical, his little brows knitting together as he took a step forward, craning his neck to look at the crawl space entrance. "Looking for what?" The man was silent now. I could feel him waiting just beyond the slats, watching, listening, I had to think fast. My ball, I said, brushing dirt off my shorts and trying to sound as normal as possible. I think it rolled under there. My brother's gaze flicked back to me. Okay. Wanna go play in the treehouse? I stumbled. And just like that, he forgot all about it. I wish he never believed me. The first time the man in the crawl space asked me for something, I almost didn't even register it as a request. Hey buddy, can you do me a favor? It was an easy question. We were just two old friends at this point, trading secrets. I didn't even hesitate before nodding, before giving him this simple, automatic, sure. Because, why wouldn't I? He had never asked for anything before. He had never even implied that he wanted something from me beyond my company. Your dad keeps a spare key to the shed, right? I remember feeling the slightest pang of discomfort then, but it was vague, unformed, like the first tremor of a storm coming, a flicker of something wrong just beneath the surface that my young mind didn't yet know how to identify. I hesitated, but the response came anyway. Yeah? You know where he hides it? Of course I did. It was under the porch, tucked behind a row of old cinder blocks near the back steps. My dad had told me once, in case he ever needed me to get it for him, and I'd filed the information away, never thinking it would be useful for anything else. Yeah, I said. Think you could grab it for me? That's when I finally hesitated for real. There was a shift. A barely perceptible change in the air between us. A tiny crack in the illusion that I had never noticed before. I didn't understand why it felt wrong, but it did. And for the first time since I'd started talking to him, I found myself wanting to leave. Why? He laughed, as if the answer was obvious. Ah, it's stupid, he said, dismissing the whole thing as a joke, as if I was the silly one for taking it seriously. I left something in there a long time ago, something I meant to grab. A little keepsake, you know. That made sense to me. All the adults had little things they didn't need, but couldn't bring themselves to throw away. Even Mom had shoeboxes full of old birthday cards she never looked at, and my dad had a drawer full of broken watches he always swore he was going to fix. And maybe he noticed. Maybe he sensed that my willingness was starting to crack. Because, after a moment of silence, he gave me reassurance. It's all right, buddy, he said. You don't have to do it. And that was the end of it. Until the next time. But he didn't ask about the shed key. Hey. His voice was lower that day, quieter, like he didn't want anyone else to hear, even though we were alone in the backyard, just as we always were. What? Could you leave the back door unlocked for me tonight? My stomach twists thinking back to it. Why? I want to leave you a little present. Trust me. I really liked presents, and my parents hadn't gotten me a present since my birthday a couple of months back. And then, before I could decide what to do, dinner's ready. I turned toward the house, the sound snapping me out of whatever fog I'd been slipping into. And when I looked back, he was gone. I unlocked the back door that night, I don't know if it was because I started trusting the man too much, or if I wanted a present that badly. Or maybe I was just too caught up in the normal rhythm of family life to think about anything beyond the present moment. Either way, it didn't matter, because the moment came and went, and by the time we sat down for dinner, the whole thing was already slipping from my mind, already losing its weight. And then, without thinking, I said it. "I talked to your friend today." I didn't even notice the reaction. I was focused on my plate, barely paying attention, my fork spearing a piece of overcooked chicken as I chewed slowly, distantly. But then the silence settled, and I felt it. Dad's hand, frozen mid-cut, his knuckles white around the handle of his knife. Mom, unmoving at the stove, her back to me, her posture stiff. She looked like her entire body had gone cold all at once. "What friend?" Dad's voice was slow, careful, like he already knew the answer, but was trying to delay it. I blinked at him, confused by the sudden change in the atmosphere. "Your friend in the crawl space." The words landed. Mom dropped the pan she had been holding, the metal clattering against the stove with a loud, jarring crash. Dad's face went white. For a long time, no one moved. Then, all at once, Dad pushed back from the table, standing so fast his chair scraped against the floor with a shriek of wood on tile. Without a word, he turned, walked to the front door, and stormed outside. My father was already in motion before I could fully register what was happening, his movements sharp and frantic as he ripped at the wooden slats covering the crawl space entrance, his fingers prying at the brittle planks with a kind of strength I had never seen before. The nails shrieked as they were wrenched loose, the old wood splintering beneath the force of his grip. "Dad?" My voice came out small, but he didn't answer. He was breathing too hard, too fast, his hands shaking as he pulled away the last of the boards and tossed them aside. The entrance to the crawl space yawned open before us, a gaping black mouth cut into the earth. Dad grabbed the flashlight from his belt, flicked it on, and shined the beam inside. For a moment, I expected to see him. I expected the pale, thin man from beneath our house to be crouched in the dirt, his sunken eyes reflecting the beam of light as he stared. But there was nothing, just emptiness. The flashlight beam swept across the crawl space, illuminating nothing but bare dirt and cobwebbed wooden beams. The air that wafted out smelled stale and sour, thick with the scent of damp rot and things that had been left to decay in the dark for too long. There were no footprints in the dirt, no sign that anyone had ever been inside. No mattress, no discarded clothes, no remnants of a person who might have been living there. Maybe I'd made up the entire thing in my head, a game of pretend that had spiraled out of control. But then, the flashlight beam passed over something small and familiar, something that shouldn't have been there. A shoe. Tiny, red, half covered in dirt. I felt a jolt of recognition before my mind fully processed what I was looking at. My stomach twisted violently, and the air seemed to thin around me, the world tilting sideways as I stared at it. Because I knew that shoe didn't belong to me. It belonged to my little brother. What the hell? My dad's voice was hoarse, cracking at the edges as he stepped closer, his flashlight trained on the single, out-of-place object sitting in the dirt. His hands clenched at his sides, his whole body rigid with tension. He turned toward me, his face pale. "Where is your brother?" The words barely had time to register before my mother's voice rang out from behind us. "Who are you talking about?" I turned and saw her standing in the doorway, looking at us with an expression of deep, unsettled confusion, her brows furrowed as she took in the scene before her. "Who's in the crawl space?" she asked again. And then, the screaming started. I don't remember running inside. I don't remember how I got from the front yard to the hallway, how my legs carried me forward so fast that my surroundings blurred, the walls stretching long and thin, like something from a fever dream. I don't remember how I ended up right behind my father, or how my mother's voice, shouting something I couldn't understand, faded into a dull hum at the edges of my mind. I only remember the screaming. It was raw and high and jagged, something too broken to come from a person, something that didn't sound human at all. And it was coming from my brother's room. My father hit the door at full speed, his shoulder slamming into it so hard that it must have hurt. The wood buckled under his weight, and for a moment it didn't budge, but then it gave way. He stumbled forward, nearly falling as he caught himself. And then, I saw the blood. It was everywhere, splattered across the floor, painted up the walls in thick, visceral streaks. So much of it, more than I thought a person could even have inside them. It was still wet, still warm, still spreading in slow, creeping rivers beneath the flickering light of the ceiling fan. And in the center of it all, my brother, or what was left of him. I don't think I screamed. I don't think I made any noise at all. Because something inside me broke. Something deep and dark and all-consuming. And as I stood there, staring at the thing on the floor that had once been my little brother, a thought rose up in me, slow and suffocating, curling around my throat like smoke. I did this. I don't know when my mother pushed past me, or when a voice cracked into a sound I'd never heard before, something so shattered and animalistic that it didn't even sound like words. I don't know if they tried to shield me from the sight, if they pulled me back or turned me away. I don't know if I collapsed or ran, or simply stood there as the room spun and folded inward around me. Because in that moment, all I could hear was his voice. "Where do you sleep in the house? Your mom locked the doors at night. She forgets sometimes. Really?" The realization came slowly. It wasn't like a sudden impact, not an explosion of clarity. It was something worse, something creeping, something insidious, something that had been building for weeks, for months, for however long he'd been listening to me. I had told him everything. I had given him the key to my family. I don't know what happened after that. I don't know who called the police, or how long it took them to arrive, or how many times I was asked the same questions over and over and over again, until my mouth was dry and my voice cracked from the effort of trying to answer. I don't know if I ever answered at all, because how do you begin to explain something like that? I don't remember the funeral. I don't remember the weeks that followed, or the way my parents stopped talking to each other, or the way my mother wouldn't even look at me anymore. I don't remember how I got from that house to a different one, or how much time had passed before my father finally packed up all our things and moved us away. But I remember the guilt.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.